day in Tucson.
Yeah.
I would like to call to order the June 6, 2022 regular session of the Historic Preservation Commission meeting at 5 p.m. If you wish to address the commission on any items on this agenda, including call to audience, please complete a blue speaker card located on the agenda table at the side of the room. Please include what you wish to discuss, filling out the blue speaker card completely. Once finished, please hand it to the recording secretary. As the agenda item comes up, I will invite you to speak at the appropriate time. Any blue speaker cards?
No, just
okay.
The one
for you. Okay. Ms. Tomei, may I have the roll call?
Commissioner Bozeman?
Present.
Commissioner Casals?
Present.
Vice Chair Lee?
Present.
Chair Beal?
Present.
Chair Beal, you have a quorum.
Thank you. I will now open and call to audience. At this time, any members of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by the speakers. The commission may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience.
There are no blue cards.
Okay, for the record, please, I see there's no cards. Okay, great. Thank you. I will now close the call to audience. Councilmember Solomon, do you have anything to report today?
Just a few comments. As you know, we're in the middle of the budget process. We had our first public hearing last Wednesday. I believe we have our next this Wednesday. Is that correct, Toby?
Next Wednesday.
Next meeting, 15th. And that'd be the last opportunity to adjust the budget before it's set in concrete. There were some adjustments on Steam Pump Ranch, so I don't know if anybody feels that there needs to be some adjustments in the budget regarding that. That would be the time to have get up and speak about it and request, if it's something you're interested in, any changes in the budget for historic preservation and steam pump.
Is there any discussion on this? Do we get, you say we get access to this budget?
Oh yeah, it should be on online.
Okay.
And what is more importantly is you'd want to look is, if you go to last week's council meeting, and it's archived, you go town council meetings and 2022, and if you go to that meeting on June 1st, the agenda items will have the second item regarding the budget, will have the list of the adjustments the town manager has made since the draft budget, and there were several steam pump ranch projects where the funds were shifted around or there. They were less than expected, so the overall amount has been adjusted.
Thank you. Consent agenda item number one, review and approval of the May 2nd, 2022 meeting minutes. Do we have any discussion on the May 2nd, 2022 minutes? Okay, I move to approve the May 2nd, 2022 regular session meeting minutes. May I have a second?
A second.
Okay, second by Commissioner Lee. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Regular session agenda item number one, discussion and possible action to recommend changes to the Oro Valley Cultural Heritage Preservation Plan. Item number five under undeveloped areas of the town. And I believe, Ms. Tomei, you have a little video for us or a recording to listen to.
Regular session agenda item number two, discussion and possible action to recommend changes to the Oro Valley Cultural Heritage Preservation Plan, item five. Areas of the town.
So this is, as my understanding, this is kind of a discussion starter and an educational opportunity. So, and then the gentleman knows, has a speaking of a lot of information about this. But so I looked through some of the documents to put together the, you know, the 10-page thing to put together and multi-page. But I'm just going to kick things off and kind of give us an overview. But and I'm going to start and kind of do it chronologically. So according to the Rock Art Ranch and Residence Cultural Resources in the town of Oro Valley and its planning area final report, which is that cultural resources inventory from 2010, about 35% of the town of Oro Valley and its larger planning area has been formally surveyed for cultural resources. So it's my understanding that everything's been surveyed. Beginning in 1976, 157 surveys of various sizes identified 185 archaeological sites in the study area. Of those sites, 160 were exclusively prehistoric, 17 were historic, and 8 have been both. And those details, they list them out, are found in that final report. Page 19 of the report provides a summary of how and why those surveys were conducted. But basically, the National Historic Preservation Act of 1966 prompted a sudden demand for surveys over the next decade or so, and the first in Oro Valley was conducted in 1976. Then in 2011, Oro Valley adopted the Environmentally Sensitive Lands Ordinance. This ordinance applies to cultural resources in undeveloped areas and to all developments that require a rezoning, preliminary plat, development plan, or amendment to these items. According to, the idea of that is to comprehensively identify key resources and allow planning tools that ensure conservation and compatible development. And the development, talked about that in the past, how some sites are either preserved or preserved in place or further studied. The Oro Valley Cultural Heritage Preservation Plan 2015 states that using the standard cultural review process, so they have a process in place already, the town of Oro Valley staff should review existing cultural resources data compiled in the Phase 1 Cultural Resources Inventory Report, which is the one from 2010, to provide a preliminary knowledge base when stipulations are proposed for future development. And I talked to someone on the planning staff, and they said that archaeological surveys of all the undeveloped areas have been completed. So when a developer is ready to begin work in a location in town, reviews the information on record, and then monitors development as that development occurs, should any new discoveries be made. Currently, about 22% of Oro Valley is designated as open space, common area golf course. About 40% of Oro Valley is built out already, and 38% is vacant. And of that vacant space, 85% of the vacant space is designated as approved plat or development plan, and only 15% of vacant land, which is 1,576 acres, and I looked up the size of the UA campus, it's about 4 UA campuses, is unplanned. So even unplanned space, though, has been surveyed and zoned for future use. So that kind of summarizes how undeveloped areas sit right now in Oro Valley. So Oro Valley's got not much more room to grow, but pretty much reaching the limits. We're less than, we're almost about 6% being unplanned right now. That sums it up, and there's a bunch of charts. I cited from a map, a diagram, it was pretty much like the one in the middle there. There's plenty of facts and figures and numbers and names and dates, lists of, we have the list of the archaeological sites and preserved sites available to us. Most of that, in fact, since we're looking, most of that is in the northern part of Oro Valley, the parts that were acquired later. In the green area, you see a lot of open space. Those are preserved and designated as open space, but everything else is built out.
Okay.
Thank you. Commissioner Lee, do you have any other clarification or insight we should be looking at?
So, yes. And I want to thank Lynn Dillerman for calling me today and reminding me to look over my notes so I had a better idea of what I wanted to say today. First, I want to ask, the two primary documents we're looking at, the two that we care about the most as the HPC, they are the Rock Art Ranch and Residence Cultural Resources Inventory and the Preservation Plan.
Yes, those are the ones we rely on the most, although the environmentally sensitive land is what protects what it is we're worried about, but yeah.
And that just basically states what's in those two things anyways. Makes it an ordinance. Right. So just when I said that, I was reading from notes I typed up at that meeting, and anything I said, facts, figures, numbers, whatever, came from those two documents.
Right.
Also at that meeting, and I just wanted to address this before I go on with some notes about the documents, Chair Beal had expressed concern about the process, the review process, and we talked about whether they, you know, the surveyors or the developers, they're digging, they find something, they're trained to stop development. And so that's how something comes up. Another way is that we'll walk the land, not we.
An archaeologist
would walk the land. And then the third way that we monitor is through research, right? We look through the archives. Your concern was over the transparency of that process. And I just wanted to remind us that that process, I could not find that anywhere, so it's not listed. I think you referenced Prescott City as having put up their checklist. So that was something that we wanted to look at, and I don't think got was put in writing anywhere. And I don't see it in these documents, is that process. We know that when there's development, a process is initiated. We still don't know what. The public doesn't know what that process is. So I wanted to remind everyone about that. I'm looking at my notes. So the documents themselves need updated, and you did tell us or ask us at that meeting to go through line by line and look for updates. And doing that is a big task. I went through and I was looking at different pages and highlighting and marking after that meeting. And there's a lot to go through and a lot to think about, and it just brings up a lot of questions, really. But the big takeaway is that these documents are written the way they're written. They require or they necessitate updating regularly. I don't know how regularly they should be updated. The preservation plan was revised in 2014 and then again in 2015. I'm not sure if it's been revised since then.
No, we're working on it. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, and it's not a, you know, it seems like the scope is much bigger than just, you know, some people doing some reviews and coming to meetings monthly throughout the year. It's more of a steady group kind of work group thing. So I just realized it's a big thing. And the Rock Art Ranch and Residence is a big document with, you know, that needs updating as well, since it was, I think, written in 2010. Since 2010 and even 2015, a lot of stuff has happened. Westward Look was added to Oro Valley. So the numbers, I didn't think of this at the time, but the numbers I was reading from, they're all outdated. We don't know what the percentages are now because Oro Valley has grown. Oro Vista, I think that's the name of it. I wrote it somewhere. There's these apartments. The Push Ridge Vistas apartment annex is going to be added next to Noble Hops on Lambert.
Oh.
Right? And so that's going to happen, is it, at some point, right?
It's not on the agendas.
Yeah, not on any of the agendas.
Presented at a town council meeting. That's how I heard about it at first. I looked it up, and it's all there, the presentation, because it was discussed. The mayor was in on it. You know, they discussed the facing, and I can't remember a lot from the meeting. But I mean, this stuff's happening. There's a dentist office going in. So when those things happen, that's when those processes get kicked in, right? Because as soon as the developer starts digging, they should be, A question I have is, how is the HPC involved in that? So if they're going to break ground, are we part of that process? Is there a notification thing? Or
there isn't. What happens right now is that the planning department, if it happens to be one that's on their radar, if there's something here, then they tell us what the archaeological group in charge of that, because we do have a list of 5 or 6 archaeological groups that we refer to. I have my favorite that I always contact, but for anything I need with steam pump, but they have a set of 5 or 6. And they'll contact them and find out what the recommended process would be. Is it preserve in place? Do you need to do any excavation in this particular site? Does it rise to that? Most of the time it's going to be preserve in place in a community that's this built up. It would be those brand new builds in wide open places where, you know, there was alarm bells went off that there was something there. And even then they may preserve in place.
And so when those decisions are being made or are made, you know, where does the HPC fall into that? Like, we're just made aware of it?
Yeah, you're just made aware of it.
And
yeah.
and so that, you know, that I think is what we're looking for in that process.
Yeah.
And maybe would be included in here. I'm not sure. Yeah. So that's a question and recommendation. I'm still looking through preservation plan. Inventory needs to be updated. Okay. Looking through the actual heritage preservation plan, cultural heritage preservation plan. On pages 5 and 6, a lot of the writing mentions the process, but doesn't. So in paragraph 5, which I think you gave us a copy of that today, yeah, in paragraph 5, it mentions the process and which staff. I think useful things to add there would be references to the process or reference to the staff position. I'm not sure of the wording. Because we don't want to make that paragraph longer. The information exists somewhere, but references to the process and staff. It says the town will consider the value of prehistoric and historic references and potential annexations. And we know that we had an annexation recently with the Westward Look. Where do we get, you know, how soon do updates appear in? And so if we were doing this annually, we would see the update, you know, and where in the document would we see that update? I don't think the numbers have been updated. Like I said, the percentages and the sizes. So those would be recommendations across the board, across all documents. Let me see. I asked about the HPC's role, the review process and timeline. Let's go to page, and move it on to page 12 of the same document. The first paragraph on page 12, Appendix B, status of Oro Valley cultural resources and tools for their management. And this is as of 2015. The document actually calls for an update to take place. It says that much of the work took place more than 10 years ago. Because the Arizona SHPO considers any archaeological survey more than 10 years old to be inadequate for evaluating the potential of a location, they're saying it needs to be, part of that process would be a review of an update to any surveys that are older than 10 years old. And I think all of our surveys would be older than 10 years old at this point. And I don't know if that's I'm not recommending a change to wording there, but, you know, the surveys we have access to need to be updated or revised, relooked, reviewed. let's see here. Moving into the second paragraph. The document itself acknowledges a general lack of information about potentially historic residential architecture in the town. I believe there's a list of historic neighborhoods. I don't know if those have been updated or how often those surveys are done. And I'm probably getting ahead of myself because we talk about that in the next, in the archaeological inventories. In the second paragraph, the plan refers to the cultural resources inventory. It says that it included a preliminary examination of 7 of the earliest residential developments in the town, 4 of which are considered potential candidates for nomination to the National Register. That would need to be updated if those were actually nominated.
Yeah, they haven't been yet.
And they haven't been. And so, you know, I don't, looking elsewhere in the document, I couldn't find the specific ones that were nominated. Unless, yeah. I just missed it. I didn't.
No, the Rock Art Ranch does call out those 4 very specifically.
It does, okay.
Yeah, that's the ones that we've been referring to, but yeah, it's very, very specific in that.
And because this refers to that, if they're ever nominated, then this would need to be, that would be right. Highlighted as a thing to yeah. be updated. Have these been added? Ore Valley residential neighborhood surveys. When we're talking about the archaeological surveys being, according to SHPO, being no good after 10 years, what does that mean for residential neighborhood surveys? Are they, I'm not sure what the recommendation is for those or where we get recommendations if SHPO's not covering that. And then a recommendation for this document. You know, I'm not sure what to recommend. That's bringing it up for discussion here. But if we're going to list, you know, if we're going to discuss the neighborhood surveys, are we reviewing those annually? And then who conducts the surveys? Is that you? Is that your department?
So I'm going to respond to a few of your questions because that was a lot.
Yeah, and,
a whole lot.
And it gets back to my first comment about these documents. There's just a lot.
There's a lot
that you find
yeah.
in it.
Yeah.
So
when he and I chatted, I did. To be honest with everyone, I'm going to tell you up front. He said there's a lot, and I said then likely this will be a robust conversation, and the recommendation will be that we continue it. You know, when we come back in September, because I don't think we're going to settle. There's just too much. There's work that has to be done to get to where some of these questions are answered. But what I can tell you is that most of those surveys that they're referring to have to be professionally done. One of the things that SHPO does annually is put out an opportunity to write a grant. Last year there wasn't funding for matching funds, and you have to have matching funds to accept those grants. But I had talked to SHPO about surveying our new neighborhood and maybe getting the same group, because it's so close, to also take in the Suffolk Hills so that we can really robustly start to work on that local registry. If we achieve 52%, then we go and try and get it the National Registry neighborhood designation. So I am aware, and those conversations have been had, but how to get it correct in that document, I mean, some of the things might be, you know, it's recommended that the town annually work on, you know, it might be that kind of verbiage that you guys come up with, because right now there's so many questions I don't know that you...
And some of our recommendations have implications to the budget too, because you know the surveys are done professionally, that costs money. So
right, we do have matching funds this year, so we can, but that again, yes, absolutely. I mean, that's an annual ongoing thing that you I would say that this group probably needs to make sure that when we talk about budget stuff that you say make sure there's matching funds so that we can continue to get things updated that are needed for our preservation plans.
And I could go on. I have, you know, a few other questions, but if somebody was rattling off some ideas they heard or questions they had, I certainly wouldn't be taking all the notes for it. I think I'd recommend outside of a study group where someone meets pretty regularly, because this becomes, you know, a job. But a collaborative tool, like a collaborative document, some kind of, you know, online thing where we're just putting in our feedback and then someone is reviewing and compiling. Because some things are going to, you know, an annual review sounds nice, but how much does that cost? Is it feasible?
Right.
You know, that if we're going to request an updated survey, that costs money too. And so someone has to provide like a check and balance on all our ideas.
Well, and one of the points that you made there, I mean, we only have one house on that local registry, but that's a change. We just did that in this group
and that's
recently.
Yeah.
So it is showing on our documentation that we have Steam Pump Ranch and one local registry home. So, I mean, it's updated there, but it's not updated in this.
And they mentioned three others that I think were nominated, but where are we at in that process? I don't know if it fizzled out or if somebody was...
Three other neighborhoods or three other...
Homes, residences. Because it was four that were nominated, three made it, or I'm sorry, one made it.
Oh.
What happened to the other three?
Oh, so there's actually quite a list that we are talking to the homeowners. So none have gone to the point where they filled out an application in depth enough for it to be brought to you guys. So
yeah.
None of them have come that far. So that currently the staff is doing a lot of that work.
And anyway, would there be, and so this was another recommendation for the documents.
Yeah, that
would there
yeah,
be
we'll come back to
an
that,
interest, but. A public interest in seeing that residences without abating, you know, giving up someone's personal privacy, but would there be benefit or value to having, you know, like a dashboard that shows here's the houses that are nominated, here's the progress we're making, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think once there's more than two, I think you're absolutely correct. When we and I just spoke to that Suffolk Hills neighborhood today. Again, I have to stay back on this, but yes, I mean, once there's something more robust to show, that would go hand in hand.
I think once they reach a certain point in the process,
okay.
To get through the
there we go.
The application, because then they're actually have put out
yeah.
that they were waiving their privacy for it, and then you don't have any problems.
Yeah, I mean, so far we basically took yeah. a survey of who would be interested. We haven't, it's so in depth, the actual document. We haven't gotten that. We had somebody interested, not enough info. So,
and references to those tools in the document
yeah.
would also be helpful, whether it's
yeah.
an annex or an appendix or whatever.
Okay.
So, but like I said, I think at this point, is it possible to collaborate on a document without it calling it a meeting if we're all just kind of throughout the months collaborating on a document?
No, so what we would have to
never
have special, what are they called, special meetings? That
we could have study sessions.
Study sessions, that's
we could have some other types of sessions, but you actually have to have meetings.
Yeah, they have to have full-on
with agendas and everything. That's what she said. Don't ever ask
documented.
Me to turn because he's going to do it.
Yeah.
But you know.
But you can.
But it takes all of that, and then at that study session,
yeah.
this is where it becomes a chore, because at
right.
that study session, someone would be like recording.
Writing everyone
yeah.
down.
Oh, yeah.
So rather than that, you know, we still show up to a study session or a meeting and we review the changes that have all been, you know, I'm not advocating Google Docs for this, but
yeah.
Google Docs, you can insert a comment.
Sure.
And then
yeah.
you bring up people's comments. And
well, if you actually have a certain document out there, then people can make comments on it, then you bring the comments to the next meeting.
Yeah. So
but you've
got
to actually have the original document prepared. And that's where you need the study session, because you're going to have to put the document together out of a study session.
That would be fine, but if we're all working on the same document rather than making the same comment on
sure.
the, is that possible that we could, can I recommend a digital tool that the commission?
You can do that, but it's going to have to come back to a public meeting at some point. At some point in time, you stop all the comments.
Well,
and it
sounds
sense. To me like they have to start with the public meeting,
right.
Go to your docs and work, do some work around, come back to a public meeting, explain where you're at that point. So you can do a continual process where some of it is in person and in a public meeting forum, and some of it is taking place with the comments. But even that has to be
yeah. All the comments and stuff have to be available at least 24 hours in advance of any meeting. So that's what I'm saying. You can work out up to a certain point, then you got to freeze it.
And that's fine.
And
all that's
meetings.
Great. It's just a more efficient use of our time
yeah,
if
right.
we're if we see all the comments we're making
right.
as we go. And
yeah.
then we show up and we discuss them. And,
sure.
Yeah.
And we're looking through the document, recommending changes as we go,
mm-hmm.
rather than, you know, taking everybody's And it's going to take multiple meetings, too.
Right. And that might, once you get that tool really refined, especially if we come bring this subject back in September, then maybe that's how we handle, because I know you've had a lot of recommendations on honeybee. So, I mean, we've got some pretty robust conversations to have within the same document. And this sounds like a nice, big, challenging first one.
and I'm just keeping the discussion to updates to a document, by the way, not other actions. Just so, yeah.
So, but you guys are all welcome to give input and talk about this. I know you've got something to say.
Commissioner Bozeman, you have a comment?
I do. I just needed clarity. Did you say that there were new areas that are being incorporated into the city of Moro Valley? I know Weston Look, but what else?
I mentioned Weston Look as Oro Valley had grown.
As an extension, yes.
But the other thing was just a couple lots that are being developed.
Oh, okay.
Some buildings being put up. That was in reference to the process, the archaeological survey process.
Okay, I understand.
Any other comments?
So this is to be brought back then, right? So.
Yeah, we definitely bring it back then. Also, I have one comment that the... going back to other historic cities like Prescott or Flagstaff, their checklist for development is up front. In other words, like these surveys are pre-existing, mm-hmm. and that's all. And then if the developer finds something, they're supposed to report. But there's an ongoing process in the checklist. So it's just something that maybe we could also talk about in a study meeting. So do we have need a motion to put this, to move this forward?
Yeah, it would be a good idea to put it to your meeting in September.
Yeah, but do we have to have a motion to, I mean, does somebody have to say?
Or is it just agenda?
No, you can just, at the very end, you can say it's a future agenda.
Okay.
If you want to just do it at the very end, that's fine.
Okay.
And then, meanwhile, if we're going to somehow figure out a collaborative document thing, does that take a motion here, or is that just...
That would be future agenda items
as well.
Again, you would try to...
Yeah. And then, Lynann, is there a need, because this is going to be a while,
yeah.
if we're just talking about in September coming up with the collaborative idea and then continue to move forward, there's no time, we don't have a suspense date or something, right, they're up against?
Well, no,
To update these documents.
No.
Okay.
It's been a goal last year, and this is how far we are in 2021, and in 2022 we're now at break time and we're only this far. So I would say it would be a really good idea to have there be a good timeline goal that can be discussed at the September meeting, at least with that one very robust one, when you want to get that one checked off. Once you have that process refined the way that you're talking about for this, I think you'll be able to get through the others a lot quicker. But that one, I mean, the things you've commented on are pretty big. So, yeah.
Thank you, Commissioner Lee, for your due diligence. Regular session agenda item 2, discussion regarding the future possibility of cooperating with equestrian groups or organizations such as the 4-H at Steam Pump Ranch. And then I believe...
We have a blue card on that one, and this is the handout. He did want everybody to see what he's going to talk about.
Oh, wrong.
Okay, I'd like to invite Mayor Paul Loomis to...
Oh, there's some to hand around.
...present.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm Paul Loomis. I'm a resident of Oro Valley. Livestock and farming on Steam Pump Ranch has been a repeating debate since the original Steam Pump Ranch Master Plan development in 2007. The Master Plan Task Force debated several hours on the subject and concluded that livestock should not be allowed. The exception was special events where livestock was brought in the morning and removed in the evening. This is done both at the farmers market today and during festivals at the ranch, equestrian demonstrations, petting zoos, etc. Limited farming is allowed under a historical and educational conditional license and or landscaping by the town. Some of the factors that contributed to the debate were public health, safety, maintenance, surrounding conditions, historical significance. Public health, livestock attracts insects, flies, vermin, and predators. This would affect the surrounding neighbors, events, and visitors to the historic park. Safety, the ranch is no longer a rural community. Livestock can be a hazard to the public, and the public can be a hazard to the livestock. Oracle Road is no longer a wagon trail. It's a six-lane highway that supports north-south travel to Oro Valley, Tucson, and the developments to the north. Over 200,000 approved residential units in Pinal County were approved even back then. Maintenance. The town personnel are not trained to handle livestock. Even when horses were boarded at the ranch, Carlos, who was the ranch caretaker, provided the cowboy expertise 24/7. The Oro Valley Historical Society has plans to create two more gardens near the historical garden, but has been unable to support that future work with volunteers. The town of Oro Valley surrounding conditions was the town of Oro Valley is no longer a ranching community. It has evolved to be a suburb town. Steampunk Village was an approved development with restaurants. La Posada Push Ridge is in the development process across the wash today. Again, the safety issues also apply. The historical significance, Oro Valley's history is as a ranching community. Marana's history is as a farming community. The only farming in Oro Valley was citrus and for the individual needs of the ranches and their residents. Even in prehistory of the Native Americans, there's very little evidence of farming in the Oro Valley region, based in Marana and Tucson. Ranching was open range, except for prized breeding stock, which was the Proctor era. Steampunk Ranch was only a transit stop for cattle drives and roundups, and that was during the Push era. As I said, this is a repeating debate for the Historic Preservation Commission and whenever the master plan for Steampunk Ranch is considered for updates. The conditions on the ranch have not changed to make livestock and farming more suitable for the ranch. They've become worse. The town is more urban. The ranch is used more than ever before for events, museum tours, and now as the home for Parks and Recreation, Cultural and Recreation Division. These uses are not compatible with livestock. I'm sure Ms. Dellerman will have more information to add to your discussion, and I apologize for any repetition. Thank you for your attention and for all you do for Oro Valley. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Thank you, Mayor Loomis.
Thank you.
Okay, so on our agenda item number two, we have Commissioner Casus regarding the same subject in some regard.
Absolutely. It is no surprise to anyone that it has been a hot topic for years and years, and we're going on decades now, regarding livestock, equestrian use, any kind of involvement whatsoever. The reality is there is a need and a desire for this community. It's a matter of establishing a proper space and a proper time, establishing correct parameters to ensure that it can be incorporated. There is a huge potential for bringing money into Oro Valley, bringing more people to our historic areas. But at this point, Oro Valley has a golden opportunity to be able to define those parameters to move forward and show that we truly are an accepting community that is proud of our heritage and proud of where we came from. I agree, it's not appropriate to maintain a boarding facility or to have livestock at that point. However, exceptions have been made for special events. That in particular is what I am most interested in from the equestrian community, is being able to have those special events coming in. We have a very amazing community full of plenty of kids that have to go to Marana, to South Tucson, all over the place to do 4-H because we just don't have any welcoming arms at this point in Oro Valley for anything related to livestock. The debates have been intense. They've been, you know, everyone that I have spoken to about this one remembers very clearly the debates going all the way from contamination of the water table to just, you know, we have flies regardless of whether or not we have livestock. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is a result of, it's more of a, is it a correlation, is it causation? Many of the people making the assumptions are not equestrians and are not people who understand how to maintain animals and how to bring these events in. Many, 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 many organizations such as 4-H have professionally run these events and have really enriched the community financially, culturally, and I think Oro Valley is really missing out on an opportunity at this point because of the, you know, current perspectives regarding livestock and potential threats and dangers.
I know you have some comments too because you brought the item up as well, but I'm just curious, so when you, because you're talking about an event of some sort, can you kind of describe that? So just to clarify for us.
What I envision is similar to what Marana has done, Tucson has done, being able to allow access for events. Even if it comes down to 4-H coming in with kids and having a show, judges, you know, we can put the parameters on to limit it. Obviously, we don't have the capacity to, you know, open up something as large as the state fairgrounds are able to. But on a more limited scale, it speaks volumes to our community that we are promoting our kids working with these organizations. And these organizations have really churned out some amazing human beings and contributors to the community. It seems a bit short-sighted to cut it off because of a lack of information regarding care and maintenance of animals when that's not even the proposal at this point. The proposal is to bring in some exposure. Not full-time exposure, not boarding, but it's just having exposure for the public to realize that these aren't nasty, disgusting farm animals that just smell and bring in predators or vermin. However, you know, many of these animals are used for therapeutic purposes, and people just don't have the opportunity for exposure if they're not directly involved in a community.
They brought... didn't they bring animals, goats, rabbits, or something to kind of recognize?
Yeah, I'll go into some of the things that we've done in the past and other groups that have come forward. So I definitely will be including that. But I wanted you guys to do, the two that brought it up, to do their presentations, what they kind of, their thoughts were, and then I'll go into what my knowledge, he went into the history, I'll go into the kind of current, and then you guys are doing the hopeful next.
Well, I was impressed when I was at the event when I saw the ponies and the horses and the kids and the sheep and the goats, and it looked like it was a controlled environment. And I hadn't even thought of the therapeutic effect, but, you know, you were talking about when somebody reaches the age of 13, they certain hormones kick in and they change. You know, it's, you know, animals are can be therapeutic. I also see from the other perspective, from a development perspective, that it could impact somebody building a luxury something across the street But I think that there's a balance. That's just my thought, that there could be a balance, not really exceeding that much further than what it, where it currently is, but maybe more publicity on it and getting bigger crowds. You know, so it's not like we're trying to take over the property. I mean, it's just a thought. She brought it up, and yeah. I kind of thought it was an interesting way to bring in more people and also extend the cultural heritage.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll go ahead.
We have one more.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would like to make a motion to put that on a future agenda. The topic of equestrian activities.
Why don't we do that at the future agenda items?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Since it's just a discussion, right?
Oh. Yeah.
And I was just going to highlight the 4-H aspect of it, you know, to bring in, to have 4-H involved, you're bringing in, I want to say students, but youth from the community. They're more actively involved in activities at Steam Pump Ranch. Rather than just, you know, a petting zoo or something, they're actually bringing things in. They have more of a purpose. And, you know, within the limits, you know, you're limiting types and numbers of animals, obviously, and the duration of stay on the thing. But these kids, they get the experience from transporting the animals, showing them, discussing them, and then moving the animals back. That's part of the training experience they get. So I don't think it would hurt their effort to have to bring them on and take them off again. And it'd be good to have 4-H involvement.
I agree. I was at 4-H. But I'll go ahead and talk to you real quickly about what has occurred, what kind of groups have come forward. Really the way a group needs to come forward, etc. So we've had two groups come forward that wanted to have livestock on the ranch. They wanted to see if they could get approval for fixing the stables and, you know, doing a thing on the ranch. In both cases, you know, we're not even to a place where huge amounts of money would need to go into the stables, and we are not in the place. And it was previously decided that other than a one night stay, that would not be a direction we would go. So the first group went to Marana, and it was a therapeutic. They were mimicking what the therapeutic ranch out on the far east side of town does, and they were going to start a new one, basically. The next group is the one that comes and does our petting zoo and is, you know, they put on the horse shows, that were the younger kids that put on the horse shows, and that's Track Therapeutic Ranch for animals and kids. And what they've requested is to maybe at someday, because they're not there and neither are we, maybe someday have some kind of a structure that allowed them to park in the shade and offer rides to the community in the wash. So again, a one day, not going against what was previously asked, but nobody's in the position where they've done any more than chat at this point, so it hasn't come forward. So there has been conversation and interest. That's what I wanted to share with you guys. So what we currently do is we have groups in for special events. If somebody were to say we want to bring in some animals or some horses and do some barrel races and invite the public to that would still be under that same parameter. We would allow that because we have extended the footprint of the current corral that we use to be big enough that kind of thing could happen, and that there could be a group that comes forward. Right now it's intended for these, but again, if somebody were to request and they were going to bring in the horses and we could invite the public, the same rental, it would have to go through a special event process, and you know, if we had enough notice, it would come to you guys and we'd let you know what was coming up at Steam Pump, and you know, so there would be a process that would happen. But I think at this point, because it would be a one-day request, it could happen. The other thing that I wanted to tell you is what this master planning group did talk about that had to do with 4-H. So at the time, they thought the chicken coops would be entirely rebuilt. They're in just terrible shape. They are getting re-mud adobed, and it's a very slow process. They've been covered. The wind blew, because they face the mountain and the wind comes off the mountain, we lost the roof off of it twice, And so the roof now is just, you know, open panel so that the it doesn't happen again. So all it does is provide some shade inside. So the we're basically doing the same thing that we did with the pump house, and that is just have it covered, protect it, and it's really a community process, that fixing of the adobe. We do adobe workshops and invite the community. The Historical Society has done a lot of help with that, and then we have staff that have gotten really good and learned from the experts that used to come on property. So at any rate, the chicken coops, originally they talked about maybe they could use those coops and put animals in them. That I don't think is ever going to be safe enough for that, but I do think pens could be out in front, and your smaller 4-H animals could be on display during even Celebrate Oro Valley or that kind of thing. So that has been kind of my goal. We're just not, the property's not necessarily in that place yet. However, anything that we're, you know, like if 4-H wanted to say we would like to come in and use the current corral area and do, you know, we march our pigs around that are, you know, maybe that could happen if there was the presentation made and we could go through the special event process and let, you know, the powers that be, including you guys, all know and be aware, then that would be something that would be just like when somebody's having a wedding. It would be a reservation to utilize the ranch for this. If it's in partnership, then you know, maybe fees get waived because it's such a community benefit. So there are thoughts and things that can happen that incorporate what you guys would like. However, we haven't had a group come forward and say, this is exactly what we want to do yet. So, that, I mean, the parameters are there that they could, and somebody could come forward and make those requests. So.
And you brought this up in the first place just to say, put the idea out there. So really, it's on the table, and it's going to happen someday. I mean, it can happen if somebody comes forward.
It can happen, yeah. So somebody... So like your 4-H folks, you might want to send them over and have a look at that corral area and say, what could we do in this that can be a one-day thing? And let's sit down with Lynanne and her supervisors and see what can happen. And then, again, special event process, because it's not as simple as a wedding. That can go through a pretty minor process. But this is more major. And then you guys would all be in the know. They would be notified that we were having something like that happen at the ranch. So... but again, under the parameters that were set under the original master plan, which there was a lot of, you know, conversation about, especially in the stable area where it's right there by the food, you know, because there's food right across from the stables.
Thank you. The next item is department update. Ms. Delliman, is there anything to report?
Just a minimal amount. We are in the summer, so just to provide you a little bit of information. So the construction is still ongoing. They did get the stem wall or the base wall created. And, you know, they dug down. One of the reasons the walls had been in such bad shape and falling over is because there was no stem wall in that building. So the stem walls have been completed. They should be closing all of that up and bringing in purchased adobe from Casa Grande. It's the same make, but it's quicker than if we had to do a borrow pit and went through the process on our own property, which is what we've done in other buildings there. But this is much quicker. It assures that there's the right consistency, right like that. So that's the next step on the garage building. The water has been brought in, and we don't yet have the timeline for when it's going to go inside the building, because the Historical Society does need to know that so they can make sure their historic collection is free of a construction zone inside there. But they have taken the piping right to the building, and so that infrastructure to bring the water in for the fire suppression system. And I do know from conversations with our facility maintenance folks that the alarm system is also, they've done the inside of the building survey for that as well. So both of the projects having to do with the push house to bring it up to its necessary state so that they may potentially borrow from the Arizona State Historical Society the collections that that belong to the Push family and were handed to them through the great-grandson that passed away not too many years ago, Henry Ziff Sr. He gave those to the Arizona Historical Society. And it's been years that we've been trying to see if we can get them loaned to the ranch, because that's really, they've had them on display down there, but I think they're going to be precious to Oro Valley citizens to get to take a look at them. So so anyways, the work that they fought hard for is just about to fruition. So.
Thank you for the update. Future agenda items. Also, the next Historic Preservation Commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, September 6, 2022, as Monday is a holiday. The commission may bring forth general topics for any future meeting agenda. Commissions may not discuss, deliberate, or take any action on the topics presented pursuant to ARS 38-43.2H. Do we have any items to add to a future agenda? I know. Yes.
I'd like to make a motion. The equestrian activities. The commissioner suggested. At Steam Pump Ranch. Equestrian workshop activities.
As a future agenda item?
Yes.
Okay, do we hear a second on this?
Second.
We have a second. All in favor? Oh, we don't need that now. It's just an agenda. Okay. Any other agenda items, Commissioner Lee?
Future discussion on the update to those two documents, the cultural resources inventory and the cultural heritage plan. Archaeological Resources Inventory and the Cultural Heritage Plan.
Do I hear a second on that?
I'll second.
Thank you. Okay, seeing no further business, I would like to make a motion to adjourn at 5:57 p.m. May I have a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Have a great summer.
Thank you.
Yeah,
everybody enjoy your break.
Facilities and
there's private. Spirit Dog is a huge ranch up there right by.